morning, y'all. It is lesson four, and we're not going to do a video today. I wanted just to take some time to catch up on some of the things that Dave Ramsey's been talking about in the previous weeks that we've kind of had to fly through. So I'm going to slow down a little bit and talk about savings. Dave's been talking about saving purchases that you may have in the future, saving for an emergency fund. So we're going to talk about ways that you can do that, good places to put your money, and we're going to catch up on a few other things first before we get to that. First of all, any time that I'm up here talking throughout the whole hour, or any time the video is running, you guys can please feel free to get up and get coffee. I saw some people kind of eyeing it greedily last time, I think. And maybe you were thinking it would be rude to get up and do it. It's not rude. If you want coffee, please feel free while I'm talking just to get up, come over and get it. I won't be offended at all. So enjoy. I'm not going to shill this anymore after this class, I promise. But we do have past classes here on ss.grbc.net if you missed anything, the handouts or the audio. There's still time to ask me a question or put in a comment if you want, even if you've already filled out a questionnaire. And I appreciate some of you guys who did that. I've already changed some of the lessons and added in some things based on questions that have been asked. So that's really helpful for me. And I hope if there's something you'd like to talk about, you'll let me know. There's still time to do that. I wanted to just clarify something I maybe went through too fast last week. Remember we talked about credit cards and the rates that your credit cards will charge you. Mine charges 18%, and there are some cards that are 20% or 30% interest that they are charging you. That interest starts accumulating immediately. So if I go to the restaurant tomorrow and buy a $10 meal, they're going to start charging me interest, 18%, immediately on that money, and it's going to start building, compounding every day until my bill comes. The question is, why would anybody want a credit card if that's happening? The answer is that credit card companies give you a grace period when your credit card bill comes that says, you know, you've accumulated all this interest, but if you pay your balance off entirely in the next usually 12 days, we're going to waive all of that interest and you're not going to owe anything. So that's another big benefit in paying off your balance every month, because it turns your 18% credit card into a 0% credit card by paying it off. Now, if you don't pay it off in full, then they hit you with that interest and they backdate it all the way to when you made the purchase. So I just wanted to try to make that clear. That's the benefit of paying off your balance in full. You're not paying any interest, no matter what the interest rate on your card is. I mentioned credit reports and credit scores just briefly last week. I wanted to elaborate on that a bit. And by the way, have some coffee. If when you go and get a credit card, or when you go to Eddie Bauer or Old Navy or whatever, and you get an in-store card, or even when you're paying your bills sometimes, there are people who are watching you. They are watching what you are doing. In fact, there are three big companies in this country that are keeping track of what you do with your credit. And all the time, your credit card companies, these stores with cards, are going to be reporting in and saying how you are doing in terms of your credit cards and your other, you know, obligations. They're going to say things like, David White is paying off his credit cards as agreed every month, and he's done that for the last 3 years. That's going to be on my credit report. Or it's going to say things like, David White is now 60 days behind on his credit card, or David White missed a rent payment last month, whatever it happens to be. Now, they're going to take all that information coming from all these places and put it together into a score that's going to be from usually around 500 to 800, and they're going to use secret methods that they don't tell us to make that score. But basically, it's just going to be how good you've managed credit. So when you go to buy a house or something, you walk in and say, I'd like to have a loan, please. The banker's going to say, well, we can give you a loan. We've got some really good rates right now at 6%. We've also got some rates at 9%. We're going to charge you that much interest. Let's go get your credit report and see what we're going to give you. So they will go ask the credit bureaus, what is David White's score? And they'll come back and say, his score is 780. The banker's going to say, all right, good news. Sounds like you were very good risk for us. We're not going to be risking a whole lot with you because you've handled credit well in the past. We're going to give you a great rate. We're going to charge you only 6% interest. Or they're going to come back and say, well, David White's score is 590. And the bank's going to say, well, Mr. White, it looks like you've had some problems with credit in the past. You haven't always paid on time. You haven't always, you know, done what you promised you would do. So that makes you a little bit more of a risk for us. We're still going to give you the money, but we're going to charge you more for it. We're going to charge you 9%. And that's going to be a difference of thousands of dollars over the course of buying that house or whatever car, whatever it happens to be. So at this age, most of you guys probably don't even have a credit report or a credit score yet because you haven't been doing a whole lot with credit cards and stuff, or you don't may not have a whole lot of bills in your name. But paying off your credit card, as agreed, is a good way to begin to develop that good credit reputation. So when time comes for you to get a loan or whatever, it's going to pay off big that you were using your credit cards wisely. So I just wanted to mention that briefly. This is for my own benefit here. How many of you guys know how to balance a checkbook? Would you say? Okay. How many of you guys have heard the term balancing a checkbook, even if you're not entirely sure how to do it and all? Okay. That's good. I'm going to keep that in mind for a class in a little while. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, we do.
I was just wondering, are there any kind of credit cards that don't help you build credit?
Well, debit cards generally won't help you build credit from your bank. If you had a credit card that was a prepaid card, where, for instance, you would deposit $500 and then say, okay, here's your Visa, and it's got $500 on it. That probably doesn't help you build credit either because you've already paid for it. Otherwise, pretty much any credit card's going to...
Because I have a Capital One, and I just heard a rumor that it didn't help build credit, so I didn't know if I was going to change to a different credit card or not.
Well, I forgot to write down, and I'll write it down later. A site where you can go and look at your own credit report. You can do it one time a year for free. It won't give you your score, but it will show you your report, and you'll be able to see exactly what they are telling the credit bureaus about you. So as long as it says something like Capital One, paid in full, or paid as agreed, then they're reporting it, and it's benefiting you. Good. Anything else? Anything about this stuff, or stuff we've talked about in the last few weeks? Yes, sir.
Does anything else go to the credit card or the credit report? Like maybe not the credit card scores, but would anything else, like let's say if you get you don't have the money in the bank in many cases. Yeah, the overdraft. Does that go to your credit score or?
No, I don't think the banks are going to report that kind of thing, like you know, a check bounced or it had to use that overdraft protection. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think the banks are going to report that. They're simply going to just charge you a fee for using that overdraft or whatever it happened to be. Now, credit report's going to be mainly credit cards. If you buy a house, you buy a car, and you have a payment for that. Sometimes even if you're paying like an apartment lease or something like that, utilities might go on there as well. Yeah. So probably not that kind of thing for banks, but there is kind of a wide variety of stuff that can go on there, and they're just going to say you're up to date or you're behind you're behind a lot. And then the credit agencies are going to use all of that in determining your score. So, good. Anything else? All right. Where can you put your money? When it comes to saving up for something you want to buy, a car or whatever, or when you're saving your emergency fund, where can you actually put that money? And there are going to be two main big categories of what you can do with your money, other than just putting it in your mattress. There's going to be savings type stuff. That's going to be the one we're going to spend all the time on today. savings type accounts, accounts that you would get at a bank or a credit union. That's what we're going to cover. Does anybody know what the difference is between a bank and a credit union? That you may see some credit unions as you go up and down the street, and there's Truliant Credit Union or whatever else. They, if you walk in, they offer a lot of the same things that banks do, but they're not banks, they're credit unions. Well, a bank, here's how a bank works. A bank is, you know, a corporation, and the owners of that bank answer to the shareholders of the bank. So the people who, Wachovia is a big corporation, they have a board of directors, they're going to be doing things with their bank, trying to make money for the shareholders, the people who actually own the bank. Now that is a different group of people than the customers. So it would be as if, let's say, all of us here got together and we were going to open up the college-age student class bank. And we've got our bank here, we're going to get some money in, we're going to set up some teller windows and all, and our primary group of customers is going to be the high schoolers down the hall. They are going to use the bank. They're going to put money in, withdraw it, and stuff like that. Now, we're going to try to take care of those guys, right? I mean, we want them as customers. We don't want to get them mad or anything like that. But really, who are we most interested in? We're interested in us. We want to make money. We want our class to make the money from that bank. So, you know, frankly, we're going to take care of them, but really we're going to try to be milking them for as much money as we can get out of them without making them mad. We don't want them to leave. We don't want them to be mad and go. We're going to try to get as much as we can to benefit us. That's who we're interested in, you know, on the backs of them. That's kind of how a bank works as well. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not evil or immoral. There's nothing wrong with a bank. It's just that's capitalism. That's the way the world works. With a credit union, though, the owners of the credit union are the customers. So in using the same example, it would be as if we all got together, we're going to make the college-age student class credit union, and we're going to lend and save and give services to each other. All of us here are the customers of our own credit union. So we're going to elect, you know, Bob's going to be the chairman, he's going to set up the... We're going to set up some teller windows and all, some ATMs somewhere, and he, you know, the money's going to be managed, but it's going to be for our benefits, and we are also going to be the customers. I'm going to be putting my money into this bank and getting some services back from it. So you see the focus has kind of changed now. With a credit union, they answer to all of us. So therefore, they're working to benefit all of us. We are the customers, we're also the owners. If you open up a savings account in a credit union, you've become a partial owner of that credit union. So you kind of start to see that a credit union is a little bit more focused on its customers. Chances are then you are going to find some better deals at a credit union. You're going to find a little bit better customer service at a credit union. They're just going to treat you in a different way that a bank might. So that's the difference between banks and credit unions. They're both going to offer the same kind of services, though. Services like checking accounts. You guys know all about checking accounts. You know, you got an account, you can write checks on it, you can use your debit card on it, money comes out of it right away. So, checking accounts, you know what savings accounts are as well. You're going to put money in, you can get it out by going to a teller, or you know, go to an ATM and get your money. It's going to earn some interest in there. That's a savings account. Money market accounts. Dave Ramsey's mentioned this in the past. Someone asked about it the other week. Money market account is going to be a lot like a savings account and also kind of like a checking account as well. Savings account's going to earn a little bit of interest with your money in it. Money market account is going to earn probably quite a bit more interest than a savings account will. It's a better deal for your money. You're also going to be able to write some checks on it. They may limit you to maybe only 5 or 6 checks a month, and you may be limited in how much you can spend. The checks may have to be a minimum of 250, you know, no small checks. But generally, they're going to pay you more money when you put your money in a money market. Now, what's the downside of it? Well, the downside is that it costs a lot more to get into a money market. A lot of times, you need kind of some big bucks to open a money market account. Savings account, kind of for everybody. Money market accounts are kind of for people who have more money, have a lot more money maybe to to save away. Banks are going to treat, or credit unions are going to treat those people with preferential treatment. Now, we'll talk about how it may not cost a huge amount to get in a money market in some places, but that's kind of how it's going to work. Money markets are good for savings, but have a high entrance fee. And then certificates of deposits, that's the last one. Now, let's say you go to the bank and you say, you know what, I've got some money here that I am saving up for a car. Now, I'm not going to buy this car for a year or so, but I know I'm not going to need this money. So I'd like to buy a CD, please, and I'd like to buy that CD for 1 year. The bank says, okay, great. We're going to take that money. Now, you're not going to be able to use this money. It is out of your hands completely for a year. In exchange for you giving us the guaranteed use of your money, we're going to give you a pretty good interest rate. We're going to pay you 3%, let's say. Yeah, three whole percent. I know, it's not that great, but anyway, that's what they're going to say. Or you go in and say, hey, I've got this money. I really don't need it for a long time. I could do without this money for 5 years. So I'd like to get a 5-year CD, please. The bank's going to say, okay, great. We're going to take that for 5 years. Since we're getting it for a longer period of time, we're going to give you a better interest rate. We're going to give you 4.5% instead of 3%. So a CD is kind of giving up your money for a specified amount of time, usually between 6 months and 5 years, and the bank paying you an amount of interest on that, more interest the longer you're willing to give up your money. So that's how CDs work. So these are great, and there's a big advantage to using these types of things for saving your money. The advantage is that your money here, bank or credit union, is completely safe. Have you guys ever seen Mary Poppins before? I mean, I saw it growing up, but it's because it came out when I was growing up. You'd have to kind of like classic movies now if you wanted to see it. But and what's that Jimmy Stewart movie? The Christmas one. Yes, It's a Wonderful Life, right. So now both of those movies have scene in them where there's a run on the bank. So in It's a Wonderful Life, there's a scene where George Bailey's building and loan bank type thing has suddenly run out of money. Everybody gets word that there's almost no money, and they've all got accounts there, and so they all run to the bank. They're at the teller window demanding that they get their money back because they're worried that there is no money. They're going to lose out if they don't get their money right now. Same thing at Mary Poppins. Well, that kind of thing never happens anymore. The reason is that the government has passed a law that says that they have guaranteed, with the full backing of the United States government, that any money that you put in a bank or a credit union up to $100,000 is going to be guaranteed. Even if Wachovia goes out of business or your local credit union goes out of business, bankrupt, government guarantees that they will give you that money back. It's going to be totally safe. So that's a real big benefit for savings here. What's the disadvantage of savings? Disadvantage is that in exchange for that complete safety that you've got, they're not going to pay you a whole lot. You know, 3% for a CD, 4.5%. And you had to do it for 5 years. That's not a whole lot of money. You're going to, you know, it's not bad, but you're not going to get really rich by doing that kind of thing. Your money is safe, no question about that, but they're not going to pay you a whole lot at a bank or a credit union. So what do you do? What do you do if that's just not going to be enough money? That's when you turn to the other big category of where you can put your money. We're going to deal with this next week, and that is investing. When you're talking about investing, you're talking about things like bonds. We're not going to talk a whole lot about bonds. I'll mention them briefly next week, but that's just one type of category you may have heard of in terms of investing. Another one you've probably heard of is stocks. Here's the NYSE over here. This is the New York Stock Exchange. People here every weekday pretty much buying and selling stocks. You're also talking about mutual funds. A stock is a share in a single company, like a share of Wachovia or Harley Davidson or Old Navy or whatever the company happens to be. Mutual fund is a collection of stocks. When you buy a mutual fund, you are buying maybe 10 or 30 or 100 or more companies' stocks, all kind of in this big basket. So Again, we'll talk more about that next week. The advantage of investing is that your interest rates are going to be much bigger. Not interest rates so much, but your chances of making money in the stock market and such are going to be big. So whereas with a CD back up here, 5% maybe at most, with stocks and mutual funds, you could really hit it big. If you invested back in the tech boom, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, some guys bought these companies, they went up 100%, 100% return, 200%. The companies were like tripling in value. Yahoo's and Qualcomm's and Cisco's, companies like that were doing great. People who got in at the right time happened to make a lot of money. A lot more than they ever would at a bank. What's a disadvantage of investing? You can lose it too. That is right. Your money is at risk. At a bank, you're pretty much guaranteed that your money is never going to go down. You put in a dollar, it'll earn something, but it'll never go below a dollar. Stock market, mutual funds, bonds, that's not true. You could lose money. You could lose big time. When the tech crash came a few years later, people who had money in tech stocks really took a pounding, and their values plummeted. So you put in $100, you might do great. It might come out to $130, $150, maybe $200. It might drop down to $50, might drop down to $20. So that is what investing is about. Next week, when we talk about this, we're going to try to figure out how to get some of those higher rates of return while mitigating the risk as much as we can. You can't eliminate it. There is going to be some risk, but there are ways to reduce that and still try to get some good returns, keeping that risk low. But we're going to stick with savings today. So here's the four types of savings again. And the way we're going to categorize them is these three things up here. Interest rate, how much are these four going to pay us if we use them? Flexibility and liquidity, that's an indication of how easy is it to get your money if you need your money. For instance, I've got a car it's in my 96 Honda Civic. It's worth about $3,000 or so. So I've got $3,000 in value. It's out there. Question is, if I need $3,000 to pay for something, how easy is it for me to get it out of my car? Answer is, not very. Not very at all. My car is not liquid, not flexible. I'd have to find someone to quick buy it and give me cash. So that is not a liquid investment. How about these other four? How liquid are they? And then, what's it going to cost in order to get in to these different accounts? How much money do you have to have in order to open an account and keep an account? So, interest rate on checking, very, very low. You are not going to make much interest at all on your checking account. In fact, you're probably going to make 0% on your checking account. Most places are not going to give you any interest for keeping money in a checking account. Savings, there's going to be some. They'll give you a little bit of interest for opening a savings account, but it's not going to be a whole lot of money. No, you're not going to get rich in a savings account, definitely. Money market's getting a little bit better now. In exchange for having that a lot of cash to open a money market account, they're going to give you a better rate than you would in savings. And CDs, in terms of banks and credit unions, CDs are about as high as it gets. If you buy a long CD, sometimes even not so long a CD, you're going to get a pretty good interest rate. So liquidity, checking, very high. If you want money out of your checking account, you just write yourself a check or go to the store, use their debit card thing, get cash back, go to a teller, ATM. It's very easy to get your money out of a checking account if you need it. It's also almost as easy to get it out of savings. Again, you go to an ATM or the teller window and get your money from savings really easily. Money market, it's going to still be pretty easy to get it out. They might require you to keep a lot of it in there, which is kind of untouchable. But otherwise, yeah, you can still go to the bank and ask for money from your money market. That's going to be no problem. CD is going to be very hard to get your money out if you need it. Now, so say you go and you buy a 3-year CD, and then 2 years into it, you come and say, look, I've had a disaster. I need that money right now. I'm going to have to get it. They're going to say to you, okay, Mr. White, you can have your money. Now, you've earned 2 years' worth of interest on that CD. However, because you broke the terms of it, because you did not let it fully mature to 3 years, we're going to penalize you by taking away 3 months or 6 months of your interest. So you've earned 2 years of interest. We're only going to give you 1.5 years of interest. So you can do it. You can get your money out of a CD if you need it. Just be aware there's going to be a penalty for it. And then minimums. To get into checking, usually going to be pretty low. Most people can open up a checking account without too much difficulty. Most people can open up savings as well. It's going to be pretty easy to get both of those. Money market, we've talked about, takes a lot of money usually to open a money market account. It's for people who have a lot of cash sitting around that they don't need, that they can open the account with. CDs, it's going to vary. Some CDs take a lot of money to open. Others don't take much at all. Maybe only $50 or $100 to do it. So CDs are going to be fairly easy to get into. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's say I've got a savings account at State of Place Credit Union. I've got $10,000 in there. Would you recommend putting half of that into a money market or a CD?
I would recommend putting all of it into a money market if I could. And if you can... And if you have some that you know you're not going to need for a given amount of time, then a CD is another good choice. Now, State Employees Credit Union Money Market pays a pretty good rate. They're one of the best out there. So you may want to look and see how that compares to the CDs, because if that CD is not giving you much more on top of that, and they're tying up your money for a year, then it may not be worth it. But I did the same thing. I looked at their money market rates and their savings rates, and I had enough money, and I said, there's no reason for me to keep this savings account. I'm going to move it all over into this money market and just let it build up more interest over there. So, yeah, I would definitely look at that. Yes, ma'am.
You can transfer money from your savings if you're, like, saving so you could get a money market account. You can transfer that money to a money market.
Yeah, especially if you're in the same bank. It would be, you'd probably have to go in and talk with a banker and say, I'd like to open a money market. But then they'll say, okay, sure, we're gonna basically do a big withdrawal over here, a big deposit right here. It's going to be pretty easy. Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. When we deposit into a savings account, they use that money for something, right?
Right.
All right, and you do the same thing with a money market account, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, why is it called a money market account? I mean, are they going to be spending in a certain market? I mean, if that market crashes, are we going to lose money, or is it pretty safe?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the term money market comes from. I think a money market is sort of a fake kind of, and you guys may know better than I do. I think it's sort of considered almost an investing account, but not really. They say one share of a money market account equals $1. So you've bought $10,000 in your money market, you have 10,000 shares that's worth $1 each. Really, that's kind of too complicated for us to have to worry about. It just boils down to us having $10,000 in there. I don't know why it's called a money market. But you can't ever lose money in it. That's right. They're going to be investing it in whatever Wachovia or whoever feels like, whether that's, you know, currencies or speculation or whatever they happen to be doing. But whatever they do with it, they're still going to guarantee that if you want your $10,000 and the interest it's earned, then they will give it to you. And if they ever go bust, the government is going to guarantee that they will give you everything that you had in there when it went bust. Sir?
That's only true if it's done at a bank. If you do it through your stockbroker or PayPal or anybody else that offers it, it's not backed by the FDIC.
Well, that's interesting. And that may very well be. Banks are covered under what's called the FDIC. Credit unions are covered under what they call the NCUA, I think. Either one of those are the same thing, guarantees up to $100,000. Now, it's true, if you get a PayPal money market account or go through, Charles Schwab or whoever, Edward Jones, and get in it there, I don't know if it's guaranteed with that. So, good point. I'm not sure about that. You may be right.
If they're FDIC insured, they you'll usually see it somewhere on the website or.
Yeah. If you're ever not sure, you can ask, is this FDIC insured? And they will tell you, yep, no problem. Or else they'll say, well, no, not really. But FDIC insurance, that's the term for the government backing that money. So, yeah, those are good points. All right. Here's how these six things look when it comes to a place like Wachovia. Here, let's look at the interest rates that you're going to get. And this is pretty current. I looked these up last week. They might have changed a little, but I doubt it. So let's see what happens with your money. You go in checking, and then if you put $1,000 into these guys, leave it for a year, what's going to happen? How much is that $1,000 going to earn? So Wachovia, interest rate for checking account is zero. Your $1,000 will earn $0. Checking account is a convenience to you to let you write checks and things. They're not going to pay you squat for opening a checking account. Savings account, all right, they're doing a little bit better now. They're going to give you 0.15%, 0.015% for opening a savings account. And you're going to have $300 to do it. They may have better deals for college students. I think they might, actually. But for us, you know, old fogies who aren't in college, $300 minimum, and that, you know, for the privilege of earning $1.50 at the end of the year. Thanks. That's great, Wachovia. Appreciate it. Money market. All right. Money market's getting a little bit better. They're going to offer 1.17, a whole percentage point better. But you're going to have $10,000 to open that money market account. And then, you know, you'll get your $11.70 at the end of the year for having invested $1,000. Now here's the CDs down here. CDs opened for 1 year, 3 years, and 5 years. Wachovia is going to give 3%, 4.25%, and 4.5%. Now it's interesting. You can get this account. You know, this isn't too bad. We're starting to look better here. It only is going to cost you $50 to get that CD. You're going to earn $30 over the year. Not bad. Not too bad. If you have $10,000, you can open a 3-year or a 5-year CD and get a better deal and earn your $42.50 and $45.50. Now, frankly, guys, these interest rates stink. These are not really good deals. And this is what Wachovia is offering. Remember our discussion on banks. They are not necessarily working for us, the customers. They're going to give us a little bit to try to keep us happy and placated. But they're trying to make profits for themselves, their corporation, and their shareholders. So and this is going to be true for Wachovia. It's going to be very similar for any other bank. RBC Centura, Bank of America, SunTrust. All these local banks are going to be very similar. So what are your alternatives? Well, one alternative is to look at credit unions. Now, one thing I didn't tell you about credit unions. You remember how credit union is going to be all of us here getting together and saying this is going to be the college-age classroom group. Well, what have we done in the process of doing that? We have excluded a lot of people in the church from joining. The only ones who can join our credit union and become members and owners are college-age kids. Credit unions, every credit union is going to do the same thing. Banks will always let you in as customers. You can go to any bank and open up an account. You cannot go to any credit union and open up an account. You're going to have to qualify to get in. Different credit unions are going to have different qualifications in order to open an account. Now here's one that you may have seen in Alamance County, Truliant. We've got branches in Burlington, Winston-Salem. There's a branch in Mebane now, just down from the Smithfield Barbecue, across from Lowe's Hardware. Truliant is pretty good at serving Alamance County. There's a lot of ways that you can get into Truliant and qualify. One of the ways you can qualify to get into Truliant is if you worship in Alamance County. So congratulations, all of you qualify to join Truliant because you worship here in Alamance County. So, you know, if you live, work, worship, or a few other things in Alamance County, you qualify. So everybody here qualifies to join Truliant Credit Union. If you did, what would you get? Wachovia is offering us 0%. Truliant's going to give us 0.25% for checking. Not much, $2.50. But hey, it's a checking account. What do you expect? It's better than nothing. Savings, 0.15 goes to 0.7. and you only have to have $5 to open up that account. They will, so give them a fiver and you've got an account. You can earn your $7 on $1,000 over the year. Money market. Took you $10,000 to open Wachovia's and you got 1.17. True Lion's going to give you 1.8. And it's only going to cost you $1,000 to open it. $18 a year. Not bad. Here's the CD rates. Now look here. Every single rate here that True Lion offers is better than Wachovia. Beat them on every single point. And that's going to be true again of all the other banks, pretty much. True Lion is going to win out over pretty much every bank. And the minimums you have to use to get into these CDs, only $250, $1,000. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but it's nowhere near $10,000. And you're going to earn better rates. I put this star down here because that was to remind me that this is actually a special deal they have going on for this month or maybe next couple of months. This is not a 5-year CD right here. This is an 11-month CD. If you're willing to give up your money for 11 months, not 5 years, 11 months, they'll pay you 5% over the course of 11 months. Yeah.
That's retarded.
It's weird. I don't understand it.
It's not that you get $50 at the end of the 11.
No, that's right. Although you get close to it.
11/12.
Right, you 11/12 times. 11 months, right. That's right. So, but still, kind of a neat deal to be able to get in for 11 months instead of having to tie up your money for 5 years. The Wachovia is going to give you 4.5. So, True Lion, if it sounds like I am pushing credit unions over banks, you're right. I am. I love credit unions. Your money is safe. The people are nice. They're taking care of you. They're looking out for you. Now, one big advantage that Wachovia is going to have and the other banks are going to have is size. And size translates into branches and ATMs. If you're on State's campus or UNCG's or other places, chances are there's going to be a Wachovia near you, maybe even on campus. May not be a True Lion out there. So if you need to go in and talk to somebody, you've got to see a teller or something or get to an ATM, banks are going to have True Lion and other credit unions beat, generally. But in all categories of earning money, True Lion is the winner. I do not do my banking at True Lion, though. I don't do it at Wachovia anymore, either. The reason I don't go to True Lion is if you can get into the State Employees Credit Union of North Carolina, that is a good, good deal. That credit union is awesome. Now, it's going to be tough to get into the State Employees Credit Union.
You have to have somebody you are akin to has to be an employee of the state.
That's right. You've got to work for the state. Or, now it's not so tough. It's not just you. You're right. Sort of your extended family can work for the state. So, does your mom and dad work for the state? Did they ever work for the state? How about your cousins, nephews? Did grandma retire from working with the state? You know, I failed to, but I could have got into the credit union because I had a part-time job at UNC working in their computer lab. So I had my paycheck. It said UNC on it. Even though I was just a work study, it was enough for me to get into the credit union. Actually, I ended up getting in because my brother had a part-time job had a job working for UNC hospitals. That qualified him as a state employee. He got in, and then he referred me, and I got in. And then my dad got in. So credit unions kind of flow out like that. So if you work it, you might be able to find a way to get into the State Employees Credit Union. Yes, ma'am.
Would being in the military qualify?
I don't know.
Qualify for something
cooler
if you're in the military.
Yeah. That's right. If you're in the military, you could probably go with an organization like USAA would be one. There are other military organizations that are going to give some pretty good deals for military people and their families, even extended families. Danielle?
If you work at like a state-run college, then could you get in there?
Yes. Yes, you could. I'm pretty sure. I called them up and asked, you know, if I'm working at the UNC library, can I get in? They said, yeah, sure, bring your paycheck, show us that it says UNC at the top. You know, they're not going to be really mean about it, but, and once you're in a credit union, you are in it forever. I'm not a state employee anymore by any means, but I can still use State Employees Credit Union, and if I have children who want to join, they can join under me. What is the State Employees Credit Union going to do that I'm just so happy about? Well, checking. Look at this. 0.75. So you've earned 750 on a checking account. It's a lot better than Waco via zero. Savings. We've gone from 0.15, 0.7, up to 1.75. In a plain old savings account, it's going to cost. It's going to earn you $17.50. Their minimum to get in, I didn't write it down, but I think it's $5. Again. Money market. I love this one. 1.17 over here, $10,000 minimum. 1.8. We go up to 4.08. It's only going to cost $250 to get in. That is why I had that stunning revelation when I got $250. I was like, why am I still in savings? Getting 1.75. I'm going to move it all into money market. I did. And now it was earning 4.08%. $40.80 a year. Here's their CD rates. 4.5, 5, 5.15, all of which have $250 minimum. Not a big barrier to get in. Okay, so there's the answer to your question earlier, I guess. Even that one-year CD is going to be better than the money market. You know, not a huge amount better. So if you think you're going to need that money, money market's a good place to put it. But if you can do without it, some of those CDs might be good choices. So if you can get in the State Employees Credit Union, do it. The other advantage they have is that they're big. They are honking big. They've got ATMs all over the place, branches all over the place. They're almost, you know, you can find one anywhere in the state. They're one of the biggest credit unions in the nation. Our own North Carolina State Credit Union. Yes, sir.
I'd also like to make a suggestion that there's nothing that says you have to put all your money in a CD all at once. Like, if you don't really know if you're going to need it or not, you put like half it in or a quarter of it. Every few months, probably.
Yep, you sure could. We Ken was telling me about how he was doing that. That is a very good strategy called laddering. And so, you know, if you have a five-year CD, you take your money and you divide it up into five. And you say, okay, I'm going to put this amount in a five-year CD. This is going to go in a four-year CD, three-year, two-year, one-year CD. And then, so every 1 year, you're getting one-fifth of your money back to you. It's ended. And then at the end, you put this in a five-year CD and this in a five-year and five-year, five-year, five-year. And so every year, you're getting back your money because of 5 years expiring and the next year another 5 years expiring and the next year another 5 years expiring. You've gotten the best interest rate possible. You're still getting back a fifth of your money every year. Yes, sir.
In my opinion, the only downfall with the state employees checking is they charge you a fee every year or every month.
They do charge you $1 a month. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's true. You're right. They will charge you $1, and I don't think Wachovia or TrueLine is going to do that. Now, in my case, usually this 0.75 interest rate is about enough to cover that dollar. So I may not even earn much interest from the checking account, but it does cover my $1 fee a month. So yeah, that is something to be aware of. There is going to be that $1 a month charge for their checking. Now, one last thing that you may have seen advertised before. There are online-only banks. Banks out there that have no buildings, no tellers, no bankers, nowhere you can walk in and talk to anybody about your money. They exist only in cyberspace. Should you use them? The answer is sure, go for it. Online banks, if they are FDIC insured, are also completely guaranteed even if they go bust. So if you invest in an online, put your money in an online-only bank, disappears, poof, it's okay, the FDIC is going to get your money back to you. And because these guys don't have buildings and tellers to, you know, cost them money, generally they are going to let you open an account with no minimums whatsoever, no fees, no service charges, no hidden costs. You just put your money in, however much from a dollar up, you're going to earn interest on it, quietly doing its thing. So here's our three big guys again. with the interest rates for the savings, Wachovia, Truliant, Secu. Now here, there are a lot of web-only banks. Here are three of them. And I chose these three because these are some of the best-known banks. These are all very stable because they come from real banks. ING is a big multinational corporation. HSBC is as well. Emigrant Bank is an old-time New York bank that's been around for a couple hundred years. These are going to be well-known, especially good banks. Okay, so ING, savings, no minimum. You can put in a dollar if you want to open up your account. How much is their savings going to give you? They are going to give you 4.3. Secu's giving us 1.75 in savings. ING, 4.3. HSBC, 4.5. An Emigrant, 4.75 in savings. So this, I happen to use Emigrant. I've used them for a couple of years now, two or three. That is where I keep most of my money nowadays. If I have it in, if I need checking, I'm using Secu. If I need some sort of instant access money where I may need to go to the teller and get it right now, money market at Secu. Anything I don't need for, you know, or can do without for a day or two at least, goes to Emigrant. That's where it's earning the best possible rate. So that, if there is a single take-home fact from today's lesson, it would be consider using an online bank. They're safe, they're good interest rate earning vehicles. Consider opening a state employees credit union account if you can. If you can't, open a Truliant account. Even if you're not necessarily near a Truliant branch, open one anyway if you can, just to put your money in that you're not going to need right away to let it earn better interest than what Wachovia is going to give you. So, if you put your money in these five, left your $1,000 in there for 45 years, didn't touch it, didn't add to it, didn't withdraw it, what's going to happen? After 45 years, your $1,000 in Wachovia savings has grown to be $1,070. You earned $70 over 45 years. Whoopee. Yes, ma'am.
In an online bank, how do you get money out?
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. I was going to do that. You can't. It's gone. No. That is a good question. The way you would do it is, first of all, you would go down and open up a checking account with Truliant or Wachovia or whatever. Then you would go over and open up your bank account with Emigrant over here, or HSBC or ING. And you would tell Emigrant to please link up to your checking account here at the credit union. So anytime you want money to go to Emigrant, you're going to say, I'd like to transfer $500. So Emigrant's going to come down here, pull $500 out of your checking account, and it's going to be up here now, earning that 4.75 interest. Anytime you need the money, you tell Emigrant, I need $500, please. They're going to send that money back to your checking account at the credit union. It's going to be there for you to write checks on or withdraw or anything like that. So now that process is generally going to take about a day. I think it's a day, maybe two. So that money's not going to be instantly available to you if you need it from here. But you just let them know, and within a day, generally, that money is going to be back in your checking account ready for you to get to it. So that's how you link up with that real bank account.
And that's just going to the website, like immigrantdirect.com, and just...
Mm-hmm. They'll make it easy. Yep, they'll make it easy for you to open the account. You'll probably fax in or mail in some documentation. You'll never meet with a person. Any communication you have with them will be by email, but yeah, that's how it's going to be done. Totally online. And I didn't list the addresses for the others. If you do a search for ING Direct or HSBC, you'll find them. Those three are often going to be in competition. One will be on top for a while, the other will be, you know, below, and they'll catch up. Emigrant I've kept with for years because they've been pretty good. They've usually been on top. But yeah, it's going to be easy. 1,070 for Wachovia savings. Nope, not much happening there. Money market, okay, a little bit better. 1,796. So we're making some money, 796 after 45 years. Truliant money market, looking better now, 3,245. But State Employees Credit Union money market, quite a bit better, 6,943. And Emigrant, if we put our money in there, we've made 9,000, a little over $9,000. My graph isn't quite working right, but believe me, it's a little over $9,000. So this is, if nothing else, that sort of illustrates what's what Wachovia is doing for its customers versus what Emigrant's doing for its customers. Good place to put that money for savings. So that is it, guys. That is going to be what savings is about. That is going to be where you're going to put money for short-term purposes. Savings is generally a short-term type thing, money you need somewhat soon, and where you're going to be able to earn the most money for it. Next week, we're going to talk about investing. We're going to look at some of those bigger returns that are possible, not guaranteed, but that are possible. I will give you just a taste of it here. Here's our five again. After 45 years, $1,000 has grown to be all of these things. Now, if we look at just one type of investment, this is one that I particularly like. It's called an index fund or an index mutual fund. Remember, that's going to go up and down. Your $100 may go up to $150 this year, back to $100 next year, down to $75 next year, then up to $175, up to $200, up and down throughout the 45 years. If you can ride that roller coaster, let it go at a typical interest rate that it's going to earn over 45 years, what's an index fund going to do for you? After 45 years, you'll have almost $73,000. Now, guys, this is in a category by itself. You can see it is not even in the same league as these savings accounts. These guys were all guaranteed. No risk of losing money there. But it costs you. It costs you opportunity of making a lot more money. So when you have money that you can do without for a longer period of time, investing is a good option. We will deal with that more next week. Any questions? I'm going to give you a couple of handouts from these slides just for reminders. So if there's no questions, we will close in prayer then. Ken, would you close us, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather together and consider these things. We thank you for placing it on David's heart and in his mind to put together the series for us and to help to instruct us in these things. Father, we do pray that you would guide us, that we would manage well the finances that you entrust to us. We pray that you would give us your spirit, that whatever income you give us, that it would be a blessing, not only to us, but to others as well, that it would serve for the good of family, friends, and your kingdom. Father, we do pray that you would protect us from a worldly spirit as we consider finances, and that you would guide us, that we would serve you well, and recognizing that it is you who entrusts this to us, and that we would use it well for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.